Colonial occupations and broadly similar enterprises are very often framed as a simple binary contest between the invading force, usually portrayed as malign, rapacious, and ruthless, and the local resistance, traditionally depicted as noble, heroic, and selfless. It is usually rather more complicated. It is next to impossible for any occupier, however militarily mighty, to impose themselves upon a completely and resolutely uncooperative territory. They require an amount of local assistance, and they usually find it. This reliably recurring factor is very often written out of popular history. Few Indians would boast of descent from a soldier in the East India Company's army. The Viet Cong are lionized in a way that the ARVN are not. A Native American may well prefer to believe that their ancestor fought against Custer at the Little Bighorn rather than scouted for him, and everybody in France would rather think that their grandparents were in the resistance. Nobody enjoys the odium that gathers about the collaborator, not least because not everybody deserves it. To cite one example from extremely recent memory, it would require an absurd moral dogmatism to insist that the many thousands of Afghans who fought alongside the United States and its allies against the repressive fanatics of the Taliban were on the wrong side. President Emmanuel Macron of France has this week been soliciting the forgiveness of the Haqqis, the Algerians who took France's side during Algeria's War of Independence. This is not one of those recently fashionable historical apologies whereby a country expresses regret for misdeeds long past. This is well within living memory.
France was at peace for the first time since 1939, as President Charles de Gaulle's government brought the war to an end in Algeria.
The conflict lasted approximately from 1954 to 1962, and some Haqqis are still with us. Hundreds of thousands of Haqqis fought to keep Algeria French, and lost. After the Algerian War, France, perhaps in haste to put the unpleasantness behind it, substantially abandoned the Haqqis. Only 42,000 were permitted to relocate to France, and they were confined for years to prison camps and restricted to menial labour. Many of the Haqqis left in Algeria were subject to extremely rough justice. Nobody knows the number tortured and or arbitrarily executed, but nobody doubts that it runs into many thousands. Their descendants remain subject to discrimination in France and in Algeria.
We were humiliated. They burned my hands and feet.
The Algerian War was first and foremost a trauma for Algeria, but it was no small change for France, which may be why France has since struggled to acknowledge the realities and the legacy of the conflict. It would be tempting to describe Algeria as France's Vietnam, were it not for the fact that Vietnam had by then already been France's Vietnam. At the time, the Algerian War caused considerable political turmoil. In 1958, indeed, it led to the collapse of France's Fourth Republic and fears in some quarters of a French civil war. Disgruntled French army officers staged a coup d'état in Algeria, landed paratroopers on Corsica, and prepared to march on Paris, an outcome forestalled by the return to power of World War II leader Charles de Gaulle in accordance with the plotters' wishes.
In the minds of millions, he is the only possible savior of his country, while to millions of others, he represents the thin end of the wedge of military dictatorship and fascism.
In 1961, dozens of people were killed in Paris when police responded brutally to protesters demonstrating in favor of Algeria's National Liberation Front. Many drowned after being savagely beaten and thrown into the Seine. President Macron is not the first occupant of his office to have made efforts towards reconciliation with the Haqqis. President Jacques Chirac declared a day, September 25th, in their honour. Presidents Nicolas Sarkozy and François Hollande both acknowledged France's shabby treatment of its allies.
Les Haqqis ont le droit à ce respect.
The Haqqis have the right to this respect and this recognition, and have the right to be told that at the time, the authorities of the French Republic didn't behave well towards those they should have protected.
À l'endroit de ceux qu'ils auraient dû protéger.
President Macron has gone further.
Je dis aux harkis, à leurs enfants, à voix haute et solennelle.
Earlier this week, he addressed an audience of 300 surviving harkis and their families at the Elysee Palace. He asked for their forgiveness and promised laws to recognize their contribution and France's responsibility to honor it.
Nous n'oublierons pas.
As for Macron's reasons for addressing this matter, it's always possible, it sometimes is in politics, that he simply believes it the right thing to do. It would fit the pattern of Macron's previous apologetic and conciliatory gestures and statements regarding France's nuclear testing in the South Pacific up until the mid-1990s, France's complacency about the looming genocide in Rwanda in 1994, and indeed French war crimes in Algeria. Last year, Macron commissioned the historian Benjamin Storer to report on France's handling of its colonial legacy. But Macron will also be aware that the Harkis as a demographic tend politically towards the hardcore nationalist, perhaps ironically given how their nation has treated them, but there it is. And Macron knows that his most prominent opponent in next year's presidential election is likely to be Marine Le Pen, a hardcore nationalist. For Monocle 24, I'm Andrew Muller.